Welcome everyone to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, editor of the Sioux City Journal and a longtime entertainment reporter. Bruce, we're back.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. We've got a lot of stuff to unpack because this is the week that they start opening up a lot of new shows, a lot of new specials, a lot of new films on television. You know, we were really worried there for a while, but I think we're in a good place right now. There are a lot of things that we want to see. Candy Cane Lane. Have you heard of this?
I have not, no.
Eddie Murphy. It's where he gets a chance to kind of play like Tim Allen or Chevy Chase, and it's his big Christmas thing. That's coming out this week, and it's one of those kind of, I want to be Clark Griswold. I want to have the house decorated with the most lights of anybody. It's Eddie Murphy. Then Diary of a Wimpy Kid Cabin Fever, Christmas Cabin Fever. Are you a Wimpy Kid fan?
No, that kind of predated me a little bit.
It's since kind of switched because It was live action. Now it's animated. And this is a movie thing about he gets in trouble with a snowplow and he wants to cover his tracks so nobody knows about it because he really wants a gaming system. Sounds just like Terry. And then he has to try and figure out how he's going to promote the lie without being found out. And it's really cute. I saw it and I was like, nah, this is pretty good. This is a nice little look at this.
You need a little more family stuff out there too.
Well, that's what we're throwing out there. We have the Doctor Who special. Are you a big Doctor Who fan?
Never got into it, no.
Well, they're going to introduce the new Doctor Who. They're going to throw back to some of the old ones. That's a big thing that's coming this week. Then we get into what I'd like to call the documentary area. A lot of documentaries are out there. American Symphony, I think I might have mentioned this before, with John Baptiste. Fascinating. Fascinating. I watched it over the weekend, and it's about how he was having the greatest time ever, and his wife was experiencing one of the biggest lows. She was diagnosed with cancer, and she was going through a bone marrow transplant, and he was winning all the Grammys. And they juxtapose the two things quite well. Sulaika is her name, and she is just a marvel in how she dealt with all of this, and then how he deals with tempering his enthusiasm over his own career, because his wife is, you know, do we know how it's going to end? We don't. And the documentary kind of has that same trajectory. We don't know where this is going. So that's a fascinating one. Thriller at 40, they go back and they look at all of the people who were involved in Thriller, and they talk to a number of them about what it was like making Thriller. I think that's fascinating. Wow. I think that's a really good documentary.
For me, growing up on MTV, Thriller is just one of those music videos that it's just iconic. Absolutely.
Well,
iconic.
MJ the Musical is on Broadway, and I think this is another one of those ways to politely deal with Michael Jackson's life without getting into Michael Jackson's life. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, later in the month, we're going to get Oprah's journey, Oprah and her Color Purple journey. And if you ever heard her talking about this, she did a couple of interviews this last week. I sat in on one of them where she talks about that really started her career. She was just a local television personality who wanted more, but didn't know what to do. And Steven Spielberg offered her the job in the movie Color Purple. And by just kind of letting go and not worrying about anything, she was able to create Oprah. And this talks about how she got from that movie to now where she's producing the new musical that's coming out at Christmas time.
Wow.
And the musical is different. It is not what I was expecting, having seen the Broadway revival. That was very spare and kind of pulled back. This movie is just like a huge musical. It's got big musical numbers. It's interesting, very interesting. And then having Oprah kind of as an overlay on this whole journey, fascinating. So those are kind of the documentaries that are hanging out there. Then we've got series, some series that are interesting. I talked to the cast of Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
Oh, yeah.
That has been hanging out there how long? Did you see any of the Percy Jackson movies?
Yeah, this was something that we as a family watched a lot of in the last year or two. One of my daughters, who's just a crazy bookworm, knocked through the entire series of the books. And then we watched, I think it was, what, two movies? And they were planning on continuing it, but then it just fell apart. The movies were okay. They weren't spectacular. We've been eyeballing this one. So tell me it's good, please.
Well, they did The Lightning Thief as a Broadway musical.
Uh-huh.
It did okay. It didn't win awards, but it was interesting. And it's been touring around, so you might find it somewhere in the country if you're looking. But now they decided, we're going back to the beginning. We're going to try this again and see where we can get. And the first season will deal with the first book.
Okay.
They have three kids that are basically unknowns that are cast in this, and they're excited about it. For them, there are a lot of these kind of guest star gods that show up. So you're going to find a bunch of big names, including Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh.
And he's Hermes. So there are a number of these ones that'll kind of pop in and be a surprise. I think it's 8-10 episodes, something like that. But fascinating, they spent a lot of money on it. You know, they're trying hard to create another Harry Potter vibe. I think that's what's going on. Three kids, friends, dealing with things. And the kids said that the fight scenes were really kind of fun. So who knows if that's, it could be the big thing, but that's coming up in the next, I think it starts December 20th. So we'll see how that kind of spins down and if it is interesting. Back in my documentary kick, We Live Here. It's a series of stories about LGBTQ residents around the country. And it's in unlikely places like Iowa, where they talk about their lives and what it was like. And I think this is a fascinating look at people in places that you wouldn't expect, if that's the right terminology for this. It's fascinating because they'll talk about their lives and what kind of struggles they have in every part of the country. It's produced by Ryan Murphy's husband. And Ryan Murphy, you may know from a lot of those TV series like Glee and American Horror Story. He's got a lot of things on the front burner, but this is one that his husband is producing, and he sees a hope for this, that they will go all around the world eventually and tell you all about what's happening. Murder in Boston. It was a 1989 murder in Boston, obviously. They tried to pin, the husband tried to pin it on a black man.
Okay.
They then later found out that the husband was maybe trying to get out of something.
Okay.
Netflix had a series on it. And then who else has one now? Max. So it's like one begets another. Murdoch Murders, the movie. It's on Lifetime as a movie. And this is about the Alec Murdoch case, where he was charged with killing his wife and his son.
Right.
It was unfolding while they were making the movie version of this. It's like, how do you get a resolution out of this? But they were worried about the strike. They were worried about everything else. And finally, it came out in October. And it's still, the case wasn't over. And I got a chance to talk to Bill Pullman, who's the star who plays Alec in the film version. And he said he was watching the Netflix documentary before he started filming, so he'd get a little more sense of all of this, because it was changing daily and what this was like for him. He also has a son who's in Lessons in Chemistry, Lewis Pullman.
Oh.
Lewis, his career is just blossoming, and Dad will talk about what he thought was going to happen with Lewis's career. Lewis today was just nominated for an Independent Spirit Award for Lessons in Chemistry.
All right, that sounds good. Let's go ahead to that interview.
You know, the strange thing about this is the news was unfolding while you were making this. Hi, have you ever had that before, where you've had to kind of deal with what might be happening and then play the story? Or what's that like?
Yeah, I have never done that before. I don't think, you know, there's a lot where, like with The Sinner, you don't know what the story is going to be, you know, but this is different. This was like wild rogue people doing people things, you know, right? It's not a manipulation of writers or anything. And that was one thing. And then the fact that you just knew that nobody was going to, it wasn't like they saw all the footage when it happened and then they were going to give it a break and then you come in with a clean slate, you know. you're layering your story on top of, you know, yet another doc series, like the Netflix one was strong and everybody saw that. And then there was many others that came on, and most of them are called Murdoch Murders. And then we came along and we heard Murdoch Murders, the movie.
The boobie. Do you prepare by watching all of that, or do you say, no, I don't want to be tainted by that?
Well, that my first instinct was I didn't want to do it if they were expecting me to be a mimic kind of thing, you know. And I played, like in Too Big to Fail, I played Jamie Dimon, and, you know, there was a lot available on him that I could access. You know, he's a pretty public person. This one, I felt like, you know, an HBO can be very, there's just a lot of producers sometimes that give you the feeling like you've got it. Fit their idea of what they think is the way he wore his hair, the way, you know, all that. Whereas this one, I didn't want to get into that. And I thought, I'll not watch a lot of it. I think I've seen enough. And then I started in, and then I just, like everybody else, curiosity just led me, you know, to just say, I got to look at it again. Some of it was a tension between needing to learn lines and keep moving with shooting. And the you know, so you're going vertical then, but then you get online and you're watching this stuff and you're going horizontal, you know, and you know that it's like, I can't spend more time looking at this because I got to go vertical, and yet you can't pull out, you know, you can't, there's too many details, too compelling. And but somehow I made, you know, I did end up watching more than I thought.
Are you still interested in his case, in his situation, or have you said, okay, I'm done now, I'm out of it?
Well, I don't have a search on him or anything, but, you know, like today was the verdict for the state, you know, embezzlement. That all came down today, and I have somebody showing me on the phone what the results were. You know, pretty much everybody I know will say, hey, did you hear, or check it out, what's happening? And then I would check it out.
The voice, too, did you study that so you could get the voice just like his voice?
Some of it was... you know, this great thing about Southern people, you know, there's lots of different versions of that South Carolina thing. You know, there's the mountain, you know, and then there's this Southern Piedmont that's slower. And then, but he could talk very fast, but also very good communicator, you know, and a lot of it came from the starting low and going up high and hitting certain words, especially when he was, you know, doing his testimony. And he just loved to say dog. Well, you know, what you have to understand about these dogs, you know, they're hunting dogs, all that, just watching how those signature, you know, coded dialect, I think, and so much of performative in his case, you know, he was different in different circumstances.
There's so much in this about his relationship with his dad and then his relationship with his son. How does that work with you and your kids? Here you have a kid going in the same business that you're in. Find yourself giving advice or saying you're not doing this or you're not doing that. I mean, where does that work?
Yeah, that is the thing about, you know, as an actor now, it's common when you're running into people, lay people or young actors, you know, do you have any advice for me? I don't know when this started, but it's like a virus, man. I never asked anybody to give me advice. And I don't think if they did, I usually thought I was scornful of it, you know, because I figured, I don't know, I just, they have a mistrust of like that's A leads to B equals C, you know, it doesn't.
Right.
It was, you kind of are learning, you get so much by osmosis and everything. And I think that's true with Lewis. Wheatley would only be really granular with him. I don't have it, Bruce. I don't have overarching big wisdoms of truisms that always hold up, brain or shine. I'm always aware that I'm looking at opposites so much. I'm so much more intrigued by what I say, and then I could also get behind the opposite of that quite quickly, you know.
Did you think he would go into the business when he was a kid? Did you say, oh yeah, this one's going to be an actor someday?
Well, you know, he didn't. I've talked about this, particularly with actresses, about, you know, different times about what their kids are like and what, and I remember it was Julia Ormond who was just saying, you know, some actors come out of exhibitionism and some comes out of extreme shyness. And they're both can be good actors. Lewis was not, I didn't think of him as overly exhibitionist. In fact, he was really had a lot of performance anxiety early on that he decided he didn't want to be victim to. And he worked through, he was a drummer and was having trouble performing in high school. And he worked through that. And by his senior year, he said, now I'm going to try to be in a play. I'm going to work through that. So it was an effortful to get through all that, which I admire him for.
What is it like now when you see him and he's doing so well?
Yeah, he really is, you know, such a wash of relief and wonderment that comes over me when I watch him now, this like Lessons in Chemistry now that, you know, he has astounding chemistry with Brie Larson that I'm just watching that. And it's like, you know, watching it's an animal at the zoo, you know, I'm just so curious about the behavior.
Subtle results, still you, but with fewer lines. Botox Cosmetic, onabotulinum toxin A, is a prescription medicine used to temporarily make moderate to severe frown lines, crow's feet, and forehead lines look better in adults.
Effects of Botox Cosmetic may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulties swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness may be a sign of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Don't receive Botox Cosmetic if you have a skin infection. Side effects may include allergic reactions, injection site pain, headache, eyebrow and eyelid drooping, and eyelid swelling. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Tell your doctor about medical history, muscle or nerve conditions including ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects. For full safety information, visit BotoxCosmetic.com or call 877-351-0300.
See for yourself at BotoxCosmetic.com.
Thanks again for that interview, Bruce. Fascinating stuff. It sounds like an interesting series, so it might be one I'm going to look to check out. Now, Bill Pullman, he's been around. I mean, he's done a lot. He's, you know, he's Lone Star from Spaceballs.
Right. His career is so eclectic. You really can't pin it down as to he's this or he's that.
Right.
But they always talk about him as the best president on film.
I would vote for Bill Pullman for president. Is he a Democrat? Is he a Republican? I don't even know.
We don't care.
He saved planet Earth. He knew what he was. He was a war hero, right? Because he was a fighter jet pilot. And he was
presidential. That's all we need.
Yeah, but he's been around. I mean, you know, you look at Spaceballs, obviously. He played the father of Christina Ricci in Casper back in 96. USA Network had it was a very brief series. It was called The Sinner. And he played a detective, Harry Ambrose. And it was sort of an anthology because he was the only character that went through all four seasons. But it was these very strange cases that only the detective Harry Ambrose could somehow solve.
Well, and he says this kind of plays off that. By doing this real life thing, it's a different kind of skill set that he needed to have. Because when it's unfolding while you're making it, it's a different world. And I like it. It's very easygoing, very kind of dad-like, if that's a good term.
Okay.
And he never wanted to be an actor, really. He taught acting in Montana, and the students all said, you need to be an actor, you need to try. And it worked. It worked for him. So he's one of the good guys. But they're bringing it back now because he didn't get to do publicity when it first premiered because we were airstrike time.
Sure.
So pushing him because we're heading into the Screen Actors Guild Awards, the Oscars, the Golden Globes, all the Critic Awards, and they want to give him some attention for this, and hopefully it'll work. They'll be able to get that momentum going behind his performance. He's one of the biggest names Lifetime has had on their channel. He gets a chance to really kind of do what he wants to do. You see him playing around with his voice a lot. You might come to a different conclusion about some of this, but you see the pressures that that Alec was facing and how it being part of a family that has a history. I'm glad I'm not. It's like so often when you see on TV an ad that says, we don't charge you a cent for representing you. Well, no, they don't, but they take a piece of the action if you win. And it's probably a huge part of the money you get in a settlement. Is this a good way to go? I don't know.
When are we getting the sequel to Spaceballs? Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
He did not say. He did not say. But I have a feeling that if somebody brought him a script, he'd say, I'm in.
What's Mel Brooks doing? He's semi-retired, but he's still doing things.
Mel is still working. He's got a lot of the front burner. You know, he's been redoing his Young Frankenstein Broadway musical. Mm-hmm. Well, another one that I want to mention to you, because I think it's kind of interesting. It's Monk's Last Case. Remember Monk?
Oh, sure.
And he kind of disappeared on us. Where has he been? Well, he's been at The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is where he's been. But he's coming back to do what they say it's one more. This is the last one, is it? I mean, it's even titled Last Case. But I bet you any money, if it works really well and they can work it out, he'll do more. Yeah, and so it's his last chance to kind of deal with issues that surround him. They sent in the mail as kind of a thing, of course, hand sanitizer.
Nice.
A hanger and a suit bag.
Wow.
And it's all a way to push the idea. Tony Shalhoub is back, and many of the other people that you saw on the series over the years will make special appearances.
You know, Tony Shalhoub, though, he made a special appearance recently because I live in Wisconsin, and he is from Wisconsin, and he is one of the Green Bay Packers' biggest fans. And while everybody in the world was talking about Taylor Swift coming to Lambeau Field, Tony Shalhoub was there. He was mingling with the people. He wasn't in the glass box with Taylor Swift. He was down on the field, hanging out with Simone Biles.
That could be the next prey for Taylor Swift.
That's right.
Right? If you're not with Tony Shalhoub, who are you?
Exactly.
It's nice to see him doing something because, you know, after they end a series, you think, now when, how much sooner will it be until I get to see him again? Well, this was great. He had this 1-2 punch. I don't think he was that big in this last season of Mrs. Maisel, but it's nice to see him revisit his old parts. And who knows if he might not be back for another Wings redo. They've talked about that many times. So you never know. So that's what we've got, but it's a lot on TV this time. So look at your TV schedules, what you like to watch. All of the premium channels are introducing things. Even like Jeff Lewis. Are you a Jeff Lewis fan? Jeff Lewis is a home improvement guy.
Yeah.
And I thought I had given up on it. I didn't think it was coming back. But he's doing more Hollywood house lifts, and we'll see what happens there. But there are a lot of those things that are out there. I want you to call attention to it because this is the time of year when some of those might just slip by you.
And, you know, we talked about this also where when we're trying to come up with their predictions for when the writer strikes and the actor strike ends. And I threw out the idea of things would kind of loosen up right around Thanksgiving because it's that time where all of a sudden there's no college football. The NFL season's winding down. We're heading into the winter. People aren't outside as much. They're, you know, it's time to become, you know, snuggle up by the fire and become a couch potato again for a few months. So you need programming. And sure enough, as we're getting into the holidays and there's things out there and I'm starting to see previews for show, you know, like I keep seeing this preview on football for like Night Court season 2 is coming back. And I just saw, and this is a ways out, but I was watching something on HBO and all of a sudden a preview for the season 2 of House of the Dragon is coming up. And that's getting me excited for next summer already. So it's just good to see programming is coming back.
It gives us hope. Isn't that strange?
It is.
We're looking. If I have TV shows, I'll be okay. I can make it through the winter.
The holiday season, a time for hope and television.
That's right. Next week, I've got a really special thing for you, and I hope you tell others about it.
Okay.
It is a look at somebody who was part of two of the biggest things this year.
Ooh.
The biggest movie, one of the biggest movies. It's not Barbie and Ken, so don't look for that. And also one of the biggest series. Okay. And he talks about what that whole year has been like.
Okay.
And also how he got the gig. He did not plan to be an actor. He was not in it like some are where they go to school for this. He was going to be a chemist. All of a sudden, things changed for him. And you'll hear the story. It's a fascinating story, a story I didn't know. I was excited to hear the interview, to be a part of the interview. And that'll come next week, and we won't spoil it anymore. But you want to tune in for that because I think it's very special.
That's Sounds good. Well, I guess on that note, we will wrap up this week's episode, and we have to look ahead then. You've got to come back to find out who we're going to talk to on another episode of Streamed and Screened.
And after that, we're going to be talking the best pictures of the year and the best TV shows of the year. So get ready. Those are going to be coming up later in the month.